Welcome aboard this week's podcast of Dudes Dish Disney. Get ready for amazing attractions across America. Beer halls and bar rooms, banquets and beverages, a collection of characters and colleagues.
No cupcakes.
It's Dudes Dishing Disney. This episode of Dudes Dish Disney is sponsored by Magic Vacations. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel. And now your hosts, the dudes of Dudes Dish Disney.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Joining us today is our producer and resident tech dude, Jonathan.
What's going on, guys?
Also joining us is our co-host, Ryan. He is the number one Disney dude.
What's up, dudes?
And I'm Congo Carl, former Jungle Cruise skipper, here to guide you through this week's episodes of Dudes Dish Disney. And this week, we have a very special MVP guest. We can't wait to introduce you to Christy Jobert. Hi, Christy.
Hey, dudes. How's it going?
Welcome back, Christy. I think Carl's old age helped him forget that you've been on the show.
It's not the first time, Carl. There's been others.
I've been on the show before, Carl.
Yes, but what's different about this time is you have a very special guest. Why don't you introduce that co-partner in crime right next to you?
Yes, I have brought my husband, Darren, because we are here to talk about service animals. And we have, because we have a golden retriever service animal, so we thought we'd have a show just talking about how it is with Canto, going to the parks and all the, you know, different things associated with that. So
yeah, that's great. So before we go into that topic, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself as an MVP?
Sure. So I've been with Magic Vacations for, this is my fourth year. This is kind of like a part-time job for me, but I love traveling and I love the parks and I love helping people have their dream vacations. So I really love working as a travel planner. Full-time, I'm in healthcare. And so I work at a local hospital here in Davenport, Florida, in the ER. So I love working for Magic Vacations and really have been enjoying it a lot.
You know, as you're being local, you get to go out there and you've been doing some great content lately. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Love some of the reels and videos that you're putting out there, educating, because that's really what it's all about. That's why we put the podcast together. And we find that the best customer is an educated customer. So again, your topic today, some of us had the fortunate ability to meet your husband in the past, and others of us have even met Canto. So tell us a little bit about your service dog, Canto, and how that works.
Sure.
How's it, dudes? Thanks for the invite. Canto and myself are happy to be here on the show. Appreciate it.
What's up, Darren?
So Canto is my service animal. He's a medical alert service animal. He's been with me since he's been 6 weeks old. He's been through some vigorous training to be at the level that he is at now. He is a little bit more advanced than just a regular service dog, because obviously it is medical, so he has to alert me when I don't know the onset of my condition would come on. And that could normally come on in big crowds, hot weather, stuff like that. And obviously, with my wife being so in love with the mouse, I have to make do, and so does Canto. So we love going there too. And obviously with his intensive training, it allows us to enjoy it as much as I would if I was healthy, should so say.
I love how you still pretend like you don't love the mouse as much as your wife does. I've been to the parks with you and I've seen you and I watch you and get jealous of the two of you in the parks on a daily, weekly basis. That's awesome. I had the fortunate experience of spending a day with Christy and Darren in Animal Kingdom. And I learned a lot about Canto and the things that he loves in that day. And I also found out Canto has more stuffed animals than my two children combined. So Canto, the love for Canto that you're feeling through the podcast is very real.
Yes, 100%. Obviously, I am from South Africa, so he has traveled the 18,000 miles with me on an airplane to be here. He has been here for almost as long as I've been here, so he is probably has a little bit more of an American accent than I do. But he does love going to the parks. He does love the amount of attention that he gets, obviously with no touching and stuff, but he definitely loves going there, and he's met a lot of the characters, and him and Pluto have had a barking match at Epcot. So he definitely gets very excited when I put on his service collar, because he knows exactly
where he's going.
99% of the time we're going to Disney, whether it be the hotels, whether it be the restaurants most of the time during the summer. And then in the winter, it's pretty much 3-4 times a week that we have a nice stroll around Epcot and stuff like that. And obviously the parks are really busy during the fall season, because the weather is so much comfortable here than it is now. So he's gone through some really intensive training. So that training helps a lot when we go to the parks. I have trained him myself. It took between 2 to about 5 years, 5.5 years for me to get him at the level that he is at. I have a heart condition. So that heart condition is onset from a couple of things, whether it be big crowds, whether it be my condition that my heart doesn't operate as well as it should. He has the ability to alert me when that onset is coming. So being in the situation where I'm in a big crowd or large crowd or having to stand in a line or anything like that, he has the knowledge and the superiority of anything that just knows that it's coming on, right? So he'll kind of come between my legs and be in a point of that I don't fall down, one. And if I do fall down, he obviously is trained to catch my fall, to say, obviously by my head or anything like that. So he is very, very well trained. He is also trained very well in crowd control. What that would mean, if somebody would ask me what he does during crowd control, is if I have a large crowd around me or somebody's like touching shoulders with me, he will start to do circles around me. So people would kind of take 2 steps back from me. So he's trained in a lot of things, and that being one of them, especially in these parks, it helps a lot. So yes, he's been through quite a vigorous amount of training. We do still keep his training going. We definitely like repetition. Repetition is a big thing with him. Routine is a big thing with him.
Yep.
So we kind of do not a lot of the same things at Disney, but we do the same walk around. We go the same direction around. We don't change a lot of that. He definitely needs to stay in a routine, which is pretty fun, because sometimes when he's comfortable and the crowds are pretty slower than normal, we'll introduce him to new things and how to do that task if he needs to do it. And he's a very quick learner, like the old age saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
It's not true.
This 14-year-old knows how to do something within a couple of seconds. So he's very, very well trained. And
note of that, Ryan.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you know, honestly, it's interesting, because I have I also have a golden retriever, right? He's not trained at all. he's more a good boy because he's anxious himself, right? And that's just the way he rolls. But he is also extremely intelligent, you know, and it's one of those things. I think, Carl, you've got a golden retriever as well, right?
I do, yes.
So, and John's kind of like a golden retriever. So there's a lot of golden love. you're loyal and friendly and somewhat smart, right? So,
oh, I see how you really think.
but what I'm saying is it's interesting for me to listen to Darren talk about Canto, because, you know, my golden Staley also picks up on things very quickly. You know, I don't have the reason or the wherewithal or the time to train him like Darren has, right? But he is, I think it's a natural trait in Goldens, and that makes Goldens ideal service animals.
Yeah, you know? the four top breeds are Labs and Goldens, Shepherds and Poodles. So those are the four that have just a more calm demeanor, smart, and
attention to detail.
And so those are the four breeds that we commonly see in the parks. A lot of Labs for sure,
and very receptive to pleasing their handler. Yes, to say
they have so to they have to
he be. Has a very, very like pleasing demeanor. Mm-hmm. And if he knows, it kind of feels like if I'm healthy, I can see it in him. Like I see him acting a bit weird. I'm like, okay, there's something going on with myself and not necessarily him. He obviously gets checkups every single week, every single day off that I have. He's at the vet getting either blood tests or underwater treadmills, acupuncture. We keep him as absolutely as fit as he can be. A lot of people in the parks will be like, well, why is your dog here? He looks tired, stuff like that. He wants to be there. He wants to please me in being there. He absolutely loves being there. And trust me, he probably is a lot more spoiled than most children out there.
Oh, so, yeah, let me ask a question.
Yeah, he loves it.
Let me ask a question too. As a golden retriever too, I've trained Rosie. She went through the same training as German Shepherds went when she went. So she's kind of very good, strong command of and they are, they're intelligent animals. I mean, Rosie will wake me up if I pass out. So that's what I've trained her to do.
That's a totally different service animal.
Oh,
Carl had one too many drinks and Rosie's got to come pull him by the ear, you know?
Certainly drinking around the world then.
But what I wanted to ask you is, you know, that service animal gets that training. What's different about the overload, the intensity of that dog going into a theme park, right? Versus sometimes that dog is, I'm sure, with you in much quieter settings, you know, certainly day to day, or you might take them out for a walk, but they're still a service animal, right? What's the difference in that situation that the animal has to have special training for or overcome that really would, you know, help someone who needs that service animal in that complex environment?
So with regards to how do I switch his knowledge on, or how do I put him ready to work? I know a lot of people would think this is strange, but he's got two different collars, right? So the first collar is a thin collar, lightweight collar that when I put that on, he knows that it's kind of relaxed time. We're going for a walk. We're either going for a swim. We're going to the vet. We're just going to Publix. We're going to go kind of just go for lunch, right? Then he's got a larger collar that's got more of a light on it. The light as well, kind of, he can see the light in his eye, obviously, because the leash is also lit up. I only use that leash, that collar, when it's work time. So he can feel the diameter of the collar around his neck. I do not use a service jacket. The reason why I do not use a service jacket, because you have to tie those service jackets so tightly, right? So if I need him to follow me quickly, or I turn quickly and he needs to turn quickly with me, that jacket can always be a little bit sideways, right? So I'd rather be a little bit more comfortable for him that it's kind of around his neck, but it's also around his neck that it's not just a thin one that's going to choke him or anything, right? It's a really large collar that says service dog on it, do not pet kind of thing. So he, and the reason why I have that lights up one as well is so people can also know it's a red light as well. A lot of people love it in the parks too. They're like, oh my gosh, look at that collar. We do call it his leash saber. So it is red, looks like a lightsaber. So, so just so people are aware that he is working at the time, I do have obviously two leashes, two collars, and use it for different things. So he is that obviously well-trained, that knowledgeable to know what weight is on his back, shoulders, anything like that. And then sometimes I'll obviously give him a few commands too. If somebody wants to come close to him and I'm okay with that, then he'll have to smell my hand before he smells their hand, just to know that I'm comfortable and my scent is comfortable with who's approaching me kind of thing. A lot of people don't realize how clever these dogs actually are. He is incredibly smart. And sometimes I'm like, man, if you could just talk, you would be the ultimate.
I mean, I was impressed. I didn't raise Canto. I've just known Canto since we've been married for the last 9 years. So, but when he came over here from South Africa, I was just amazed. He is trained not to take treats from strangers, from anybody at a pet store. If you offer him a treat at a pet store, he won't take it. When he was younger, to go to the bathroom, you would have a doorbell on the back door.
Yep, he would bump his nose on the doorbell. Bump
his nose on the doorbell. I mean, this dog is amazing. I've never had, you know, a a service animal before, so I just didn't know that the amount of training and how smart and how quickly they learn. But as far as the parks go, you know, he right away he was used to the crowds. We would go to Epcot, we would go to Magic Kingdom, and he's just not bothered by anybody. And the more that we went and the more often we went, I mean, we would be in the middle of a fireworks show and it's crazy, it's loud, and he's totally chill. So I think that's part of the breed as well. You know, we unfortunately we do see some small dogs at the parks that I am concerned about, that they're actually service animals, like little chihuahua in a purse with a service animal vest. And I'm like, you know, that kind of breed, I don't think it could tolerate, you know, a large crowd or large noise, you know, things like that. So I think that's part of the retriever aspect as well.
So has Canto flown with you, and has he gone on cruises too, or?
So, yeah, so he's obviously flown with me from South Africa. A lot of the flying and stuff like that, obviously I have medication too, right? So the medication doesn't make me feel the best. So if I have to go on a cruise or a trip that I can't take him, have to play golf, stuff like that, because obviously I'm a golf professional too, I have to take that medication. I don't like to, as much as I'm okay with taking him to Disney, I do not want to put him under stress, right? He is also still, he still has emotions. He still knows what's going on. As much as he's looking after me, he has to be 100% alert, right? And a lot of these situations, I don't feel that the outside world would accept him as much as I would like them to. Disney is a fantastic place, and Disney, the staff, the cast members, from the restaurants to the people at the front gate to anybody that is associated with Walt Disney, they just take so much care about him, and they know exactly why he's with me. I just feel in airports, cruise lines, stuff like that, that a lot of people would kind of overlook that a little bit. So I don't want to have to put him in that situation. So obviously I do have the medication too. The medication is not something that I want to take and that I do take frequently, but there is also situations that I can't take him, right? And it's situations that I 100% can, but at the same time, he is 14 because I've looked after him as much as I have. If I feel like I put him through those situations when he was younger, he wouldn't be here today, right? I feel that there would be a lot more stress on top of his shoulders too. And two things I wanted to kind of revert back to what Christy said. The treats and the food, obviously going to Disney, there is a lot of food on the floor, stuff like that, food around and stuff like that. He does not pick up any of that. So he does.
You can't follow Jonathan then.
wait. I'm pretty sure that's you that's the issue there. If I recall last time, the amount of food and drinks and stuff you were dropping.
Yeah, he was drunk. So here's what I found amusing is I just finished talking about how smart my golden was, and then you talk about how Canto won't even eat like food from at a pet store or off the ground. My dog literally chewed a stare. Right? So like, not as smart as I thought, I guess, you know, but it smelled some hot sauce on it, which most dogs don't even like. And he chewed off a corner of a stare. But yeah, I mean, it's impressive. It's impressive, the level of training, but also, like you said, the intelligence. I also really appreciate that you have a relationship with Canto. It's not all about Darren, right? It's Darren and Canto. It's a relationship. It goes both ways, right? Yeah. You got to look out for him just as much as he's looking out for you. And I think that's another thing that people may not really realize about that relationship is that it is two ways. It's not all about the human, you know, and it's got to have that respect for the dog too.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And a lot of these people would just kind of look at us a little funny, like when we took taking him to Epcot and he's walking and he's panting and stuff. It's he's looked after. He's well looked after.
Yeah, they have no idea how well
looked after. He has to be looked after, and he has to be tip-top shape for me to be in tip-top shape, for me to obviously enjoy ourselves and for us to enjoy life and all that kind of stuff. So as much as we enjoy it, he thrives in going there, especially to Disney. We obviously take him a lot of places, and I just feel the atmosphere at Disney, mm-hmm. with especially the cast members and everything too. It's just a level of
you have to realize the cast members have to go through training and how to handle service animals. And they have to have the knowledge and experience as well, because there's service animals every day there.
They cannot handle them though. So they're not allowed to,
right.
Not allowed to touch him, not allowed to kind of take him from you or touch the leash or anything like that. So yes, as much as they are trained, they can't handle them themselves.
That's part of the education that you go through is how do you handle that? So help our listeners out. If they have a service animal and they're going to go to Disney with it, Christy, what's the process that someone has to go to in order to bring their service animal with them?
So there's a couple things. Service animals are protected by the ADA. But they are not required to show any ID or vest or even wear a vest. But there are two questions. There's only two questions that a cast member is allowed to ask. One, is this a service animal trained to help with a disability? And two, what task may it be trained to do to help with a disability? They're not allowed to ask what the disability is or go into details. And then you affirm with them that, yes, this is a service animal that is trained to perform a task to assist with a disability. And that's it.
Ahead of time in a formal way, or no. You do that right at the gate?
You just show up at the gate. That is a rule at any school, hospital, restaurant, public facilities, government facilities, that you do not have to show any proof. And that's a good thing and a bad thing, because there's a lot of misuse of, the service animal industry. But, you don't have to call ahead. Now, I would recommend if you stay on property to call the hotel, let them know. So they can make any adjustments or, things like that and accommodate you. But other than that, we don't do anything. We just show up.
Yes, you don't have to do anything before you
go. We always have his ID.
I would be prepared. Obviously, he is registered with the United States, obviously, Service Animal Organization. Here, he's registered in South Africa. He has an ID card. So like our driver's license, he's got the same thing with a special number. So if we ever get into a situation where somebody has hurt him or kicked him or anything like that, and we get into an altercation and the police come over and they put in his number into the service database of what they have, they will know that he's a registered service animal. Eh? So they will know, especially if I'm unconscious and I can't talk for myself, and they need to know what he does and who he is and why he's with me and stuff, he needs to be registered. So that I would really recommend is that you have some form of identification or just some, because just now something happens to yourself and nobody knows how to handle that dog. Obviously, Christy is with me all the time. But if you are with yourself, I would recommend just having some identification of what the dog is doing for you, especially if it's not an ID, just a doctor's note or just anything. You don't need to have it, but I would recommend just be prepared. If there's just communication between yourself and any situation that you come into, just be prepared for, because you want to look after them as much as they can after you.
And then I would also look up the rules and restrictions on the website before you go, because there are some rules and restrictions in which rides that the service animal is allowed to go on and which ones they're not, and how you do that. So Disney and Universal are pretty similar. Disney, they both say that, service animal is considered a service animal that is trained to do work or perform tasks to assist an individual with a disability. With Disney, that also includes a miniature horse. So I've never seen a miniature horse at a park. I would like to.
So we talked about that at a podcast recently, right, Tiggs?
Yeah, that was a very interesting discussion we had there when that came up. That's not something you see very often, especially in a theme park. So, yeah.
So,
I would love to see that one day.
So. Yeah, so I have an update for you on that. A couple of weeks ago, I was down in Orlando. I just missed your birthday celebration, Christy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I had an Uber driver, and the Uber driver was a plaid at Disney.
Oh.
And cool. So we, of course, got to chatting. And somehow we got onto service animals. And I said, you know, I told him we did a podcast and we were looking at the rules. And I said, a service pony, a horse. and he said, yes, that's true. He said, the reason that's written into there is there was one individual who was from Florida that had that service animal. And they went through all kinds of process and litigation to change the wording to include a horse in addition to the dogs, right? For that qualification. That was some years ago. And he actually, as a plaid, did a tour with the person who had that horse.
Wow.
And so, unfortunately, the bad news of this story is that was a while ago, and the person and the horse are no longer in existence. So, so I don't know if there's, you know, someone else out there with a small pony that's trained that can come to the park. But the language has been, they broke down that barrier to allow miniature horses.
And I just want to touch briefly that a service animal is not the same thing as an emotional support animal. An emotional support animal is not protected under the ADA, is not allowed in the parks. They are there to reduce anxiety or what have you just by the mere presence of being there. They're not trained to perform any tasks. So if you have an emotional support animal, you cannot bring them into the parks.
We have talked a little bit in the past about where animals can stay on Disney properties. So I won't go too far into that. But that is another part of it, right? Is that emotional support animals can only stay in those resorts.
They have to stay at a pet-friendly resort and they have to pay the pet fee.
Right. And so I ran into this situation with a client who shall remain nameless because I'm pretty sure her brother listens to the show. he'll laugh. I tried my best to tell her it's not happening, right? She didn't listen. And they wound up having to switch resorts because she didn't want to put the dog in the kennel that's also on Disney World property. So just heed the advice when you use a travel planner that there is a difference and that Disney does take it seriously. And they do know the difference between
them. They do know.
Straight away. They know straight away. Yeah.
So Ryan, Christy, and Darren, what I'm hearing is if you have a true service animal, you're able to stay anywhere.
Anywhere, any resort. You do not have to pay a pet fee because they're not a pet. They're there to work. When they're a service animal, when he's with us at the parks, he's not our pet. When he's at home, he's our pet. So it's different. So we can, you know, he stayed at a couple of different resorts. We kind of prefer the pet-friendly resorts because there's more accommodations for pets. Relief areas
is a big thing definitely want to talk about. My little nitpick of the show. But yeah, Christy, carry
so on. we've stayed at the Cabins of Fort Wilderness, which are also pet friendly, but we really liked that area because there was a lot of walking areas for him, for us to take a walk, for him to go use the bathroom, things like that. Tons of dogs there. It's just a really nice place to stay. But we've also stayed at Beach Club, which is not pet friendly, but it's connected to Yacht Club, which is. So if you bring your service animal or your pet, one of the great things about staying on property is that you do get a Pluto welcome kit, which is only at the pet friendly resorts. But we were staying at Beach Club right next door. So when we checked in, we requested to have to go over to Yacht Club and pick one up, but they actually had one delivered to our hotel room from the Yacht Club. So that was really nice. You get a dog bowl, you get a little
placemat,
you get a, what else?
Poopy bag holder. Disney poopy bag
holder. That's great.
So you got ears, say cheers.
So yeah, he loves staying on property. He loves staying at the hotels. We do usually request a ground floor room, so it's easier for us to take him out at night, things like that. They also have little door hangers to let people know that you have a service animal in the room, so you don't have just in case, you know, people need to know. But we never leave him in the room by himself because he's there for us to work. But if you have a pet on property, that's a little different. You know, the pet friendly resorts, they also have the door hangers to let you know. But we've never had an issue with staying on property.
Oh, Canto's a pro by now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, tell me, does he have a favorite hotel? Does he have a favorite ride? Does he have a favorite?
Oh, yeah.
So definitely, I think one of the things that would be on top of Canto's list as the favorite ride was being the Grand Marshal for his 10th birthday at Magic Kingdom. He got to ride right in the front, in the car,
in
the back seat, and that would probably be the highlight of his.
That was
the best ride, and obviously, just everybody getting to see him, and yeah, made me feel great.
So we were down there for his 10th birthday. It was 2020. We were down in January. It was a very slow day in Magic Kingdom. We're there right like at park opening around 9 a.m. We're in the hub, like right in front of the castle, taking pictures. And I had no idea this even existed. Do you guys know about the Grand Marshal thing that they do? Mm-hmm. So I didn't know anything about what was going on. So we have this cast member come up to us and just gradually ease into a conversation. You know, how's your day going? What are you guys doing here? And we actually had matching shirts made for Canto's birthday. It was his 10th birthday. We had his picture on our shirts and things like that. So he's just asking some questions. And then he said, hey, what are you guys doing today at 3 o'clock? We're like, well, we don't know. We might go back to the resort for a nap. We don't know. So he said, well, how about you, if you're back here at 3 o'clock, I'd like Canto to be the Grand Marshal in the parade.
So, yeah, it was fantastic. We got a photographer for the rest of the afternoon. We got the pictures included in the.
You got the Mickey the ears dish with Canto's name on it.
Yeah, it was a really, really special.
We had a dog blanket spread in the back of the car. And then the best part was, you know, they kind of tell you how to wave and how to, you know, things like that. So we were doing the wave and we were going through the parade. And you could tell all the dog people.
Yeah.
Golden.
Golden.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And all the photos were included. So they had a professional, you know, camera person we had a whole photo shoot of just Canto by himself.
Yeah, and he's so well trained. So he sat right in the middle of the railway tracks with the castle behind him, and they just, yeah.
It was amazing.
He just got really great shots and stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah, it was a great time. Also think he would like the, I know not a lot of people would probably say this is top of their list, but I think it's a small world. He definitely was wide-eyed when we went on the small world.
And
the
nice
thing about the parks and stuff, and if you take obviously a service dog or you're handicapped, they give you obviously a handicap boat, right? So the front of these boats have a kind of a flat area, right? There's like three rows instead of six rows, and three of those rows will be covered where it's flat. He got to sit right in front and just like, you know, felt the king of the castle kind of thing, and he was wide eyed for the whole time. So he definitely likes that, and he's been on a few others. So he's definitely had really great times.
I think the other thing about Canto is he loves people watching. He loves people. Yeah. Well, you know, if we sit down for a break, and you know, we love our favorite pavilion is Germany, and Epcot. Yay! So we love to have our grapefruit beer and sit down at a picnic table, and he will just sit there, and he could probably sit there for hours just watching people pass by.
He's just sniffing that Werther's Original popcorn all day. So it's funny, you know, talking about being the marshal. All I could think to myself is, okay, great. So all I got to do to be a marshal at Disney World is win a Super Bowl MVP or have a cool dog like Canto.
Pretty much.
That's all I got to do. That's all I got
to
do.
Photos to prove it too.
It's funny too, talking about rides. So those who don't know, Magic Vacations has actually sponsored a service service dog organization called Southern Cross Service Dogs. It's actually based out of Winter Garden, Florida, and they had a gala last year, and I was lucky enough to go to that with my wife and Darren and Christy. Nicole, who's been on the show before, was there as well, and obviously Lee and Susie, the owners of Magic Vacations,
and Canto,
and I was gonna say, and Canto was there, so I got to see firsthand. I mean, this is a large, crowded room, lots of noise, lots of food, lots of whatever, and Canto was super chill the entire time underneath the chair. So I did get to see a lot of this firsthand, just in terms of how he acts. But the funny part that I'm thinking about is I remember talking to Christy and Darren about it. My wife was very intrigued, and she'll probably kill me for saying this on the air, but after we left, she's like, "So what do they do with Canto on the rides?" And I was like, "Well, you know, they strap him in when they go on Rock and Roller Coaster." Because she was like, "Wait, what?" I'm like, "No, I'm just kidding. I'll ask Christy and Darren. I'll let you know."
Yeah. So if we go on a ride, just go back to that. If he goes on a ride that he's obviously not allowed on, and I'm not comfortable with him being on, especially it's all comes down to me making the decision. They obviously have kennels there, right? So they'll have a kennel right there. The kennels are nicely air-conned. They are nice and big. So he's in a nice little corner space room where he's not obviously left alone, A. And B, he's kind of watched over while I'm not there. So yeah, just Disney, it just does so much for.
So the dog will go, Canto will go in a kennel while you, yes, the two of you go right. Ride or attraction. Yes. And then pick them up afterwards. Excellent.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Or you could do ride or switch, just like a child. So you could do it that way as well. There's also a list of all the rides that they're allowed to go on each website at Disney Universal. So there's a quite extensive list of the ones that they're restricted from and the ones that they're allowed on. He's been on Small World. He's been on the Mexico ride. Loves that one. He's been on Living with the Land. I think that just the... He likes the boat rides, basically.
Have you taken on the Jungle Cruise yet, or?
No, we have not. That'll be our next one.
Yeah, Jungle Cruise is definitely going to be our next
one. We got to do that one, definitely. Excellent.
You know, they asked if they could bring the mini horse on the Jungle Cruise, and the skipper said, nay.
Nay.
Actually, the skipper couldn't answer because he himself was a little horse.
Oh, God. Oh, you two are making
all right, let's get off this track before it goes sideways.
All right, so look, at the other question I had is, you know, if someone has a service animal, then obviously they have all kinds of needs, and that leads us to a system that Disney has,
yes,
to accommodate folks with special medical needs. And I figured, since you guys were the expert on Canto and service animals, maybe you could share with us all. We've all kind of been through this training, but Christy, why don't you share with us a little bit about this program and this service that's available to our clients?
Sure. So both Disney and Universal have a similar system. Disney is called the DaskPass, which means it's a disability access service program, and it's offered to assist guests who have difficulty tolerating extended waits in a conventional queue environment due to a disability. Darren has a DaskPass. And there's different ways for Disney that you can acquire a DaskPass. They do not require any proof or doctor's note, or they are not allowed to ask or inquire about the specific disability. They are allowed to ask, you know, if you are not able to stand in a conventional line. What kind of disability do you have that you cannot do that kind of thing?
Yeah, the way they phrase it, Christy, yeah. The way they phrase it is basically, what is it about? It's not right. What is your disability, is right. Why can't you stand in a line, right?
Sure. So yeah, why can't you stand in a line?
Yes. Right, you don't have to answer with like, oh, I have, you know, a heart condition or something.
Sure.
You basically have to give an answer that makes sense. And I don't want to say the answers here because
right.
I want people to understand this is a serious thing, not something that should be taken advantage of.
Exactly.
Right. You know, so it's important to kind of put that out there. But we also use the DAS pass in my family for our own reasons. And it is something that, you know, people don't understand when you're going through the line why, and they don't have to, right?
Right. Exactly.
But I'll let Christy talk about it more, but it's just, I just want to emphasize, you know, this is an important thing for people that need it to enhance their Disney experience.
Exactly.
And allow them to enjoy it just as well as anybody else can enjoy it. So it's important to know that.
It is. And it's important to know the process to engage in this. You know, it's changed over the years when I was an employee to just a few years when I was with someone using it and was trained on it. And now it's changed a little bit again. So for our listeners, why don't you give a kind of a current explanation? If I'm in need of this, what's the process by which I go get approval for this?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different ways you can do this at Disney. If you are planning a trip and you want to go ahead and get your DAS acquired before your trip, you can actually go online and have a live video call with a cast member, and they'll just chat to you about why you may need a disability pass. And then you know, once you get approved, then you can go ahead and you know, plan your DAS passes in the future for your future trip. Or you can simply just go to any guest services at any of the parks, the Blue Umbrellas or the actual building, and request a DAS pass, and then they will ask you why. And then once you get approved, then it will be loaded onto your app or your Magic Band. And then from there, once you're in the park, you can go ahead and request a what's called a DAS pass return time. So it's basically any ride that's kind of more than 30 minutes wait time. And there'll be a list of attractions that's included on the DAS pass. You can click on the attraction and it'll give you a return time, which is usually about the same amount of time that you would wait in the line. So for example, if we wanted to Rise of Resistance DAS pass and it was 80 minutes, then we would get a return time for 80 minutes later, kind of thing. So you could do whatever you want during that time instead of waiting in an actual physical line.
So you'll get into that line. It's basically through the lightning lane, like everything else, like Chrissy said. So you'll still wait 10 or 15 minutes, right? But you won't wait that full, you know, 90 minutes or whatever.
Exactly.
For those who need it, I do highly recommend the online as well, because it's a pain in the butt, I'm not going to lie to you, to do it online. But when you do it online, two things. Number one, be prepared to wait 3-4 hours to actually connect with somebody on the chat. Right. So make sure you're doing it on a Saturday or something where you have time, because it can be frustrating, which also kind of concerns me, because it's like the opposite of what the purpose of the pass is. But we won't go down that road. Okay. And the other thing, too, is that in advance, if you do it in advance, you do get to make selections in advance for your DAS. Right. So you do get to select a couple of different rides in advance, and then you can add another one when you get there. Right. So there's major advantages to doing it online versus walking up in person, beyond just the extra time in the parks it takes to do it.
Right.
Just make sure, and they tell you this, but just make sure the person requiring the pass has to be present on that video chat that you do online. You can't.
And they have to be present entering the attraction.
Correct. They not only have to be present, they have to be the first one to enter into the attraction.
Exactly.
Yep. So you can't even enter without them.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Universal recently changed its rules for, they have a similar pass called the AAS, the Accessibility Access Pass. And before, it used to be similar to Disney, where you just go up to the guest relations customer service area and then request that. And it would be good for a week, kind of thing. But now, as of end of July, they are requiring, they're using a third party. So they're requiring what's called an individual access card. So they give you, on the website, they'll give you a separate link, and then you register for that. And then you actually have to have a doctor's note explaining why you meet the requirements to get this access card. And then you get a phone call, apparently, from Universal. We have not done it yet. We haven't gone through that route. You get a phone call from Universal, and then you talk briefly about why you need the card. And if they approve you, then it's good for a year. So that's the advantage to that. So this recently changed just a few weeks ago. So
excellent. This is really valuable information, and it can really make or break someone's well-planned vacation, right? To have access to all these tools and things. I don't think that there's anything that could make or break someone's vacation better than having Canto, though. I don't think that you're going to get anything better than that. You mentioned something briefly that I have to drill down, though. You said something about an interaction with Canto and Pluto, who happens to be my favorite character. Yes. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the first day that I took him to Epcot when we were kind of here for a couple of years, and then obviously we moved to Florida, and then we obviously got comfortable living here and then comfortable to take him. The first place that we went was Epcot, and the first character he ever saw was Pluto right underneath the ball, obviously. And they Canto kind of got down on kind of on his belly and just started barking. And a lot of people would think it's either like aggression, or he's trying to push him away from me, or anything like that. It's his way of communicating, right? He saw a dog figure, dog face, obviously all of that, and came into just this realization, like, oh my gosh, like just the excitement we all get when we see the characters, right? Just the excitement of like, oh my gosh, I'm going to see Mickey Mouse kind of thing, right? And everybody like runs up to Mickey Mouse, and even big, strong, grown men are running up to Mickey Mouse and hugging Mickey Mouse, right? So he just was in that kind of situation where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm probably seeing my idol right now. You know, this is cool. And they got into kind of a barking match for about a good 5, 6, 7 minutes. And Pluto was actually making a sound, obviously barking too, back at him. So yeah, Canto just absolutely loved that. And we got some really good pictures with them both, like kind of on their hind legs and down and tails wagging and barking at each other. And it was a really great experience. But yeah, he's met the princesses at Be Our Guest. He's met Mickey Mouse, obviously. So he's met the best of the best.
Obviously. My favorite was when we were meeting Mickey at Magic Kingdom, and it was his birthday. And you know how Mickey can just use his hands, you know, and you understand him. So Canto was coming up to meet Mickey, and Mickey would just go with his hands like this. Am I allowed to pet? You know, he would just rub his other hand on top. Am I allowed to pet? And we're like, of course, you're Mickey Mouse.
So the first thing, Mickey looked down at Canto, and Canto licked his nose. Yeah. So he's had some really good meetups.
He loves the characters.
Yeah. Yes. So, and we take him obviously to the restaurants as well that have the meet and greets. And
yeah, we just met, what was the last one we went to? Cape May. So he met Donald and Daisy and Goofy, and it was great.
And he does love all of them. And yeah, but two of the ones that I think is his favorite is definitely Pluto, top of the list, and then all the princesses at the castle.
Yeah.
What's not to love, right? Hey, this has been really great and informational. I thank you both for coming on and sharing this. It's really important, valuable information, and a lot of fun. Is there anything to close things up, guys, that we've missed that we should be including for our listeners?
So I've got one. I've been fairly quiet this entire show, but this information is always really, really enjoyable. Listen again, folks. I don't have a dog myself. Hopefully sooner than later, I'll be able to get one. But hearing this and understanding and the love that Christy and Darren have of Canto, especially even being a service animal, but you can sense the love of them. If you guys had one experience that you could do with Canto that you haven't done yet, what would that be though?
Ooh. It's a good like date question, John.
Oh, you know, hey.
turn back the time.
Turn back the clock.
Turn back the clock. I was saying, because it's definitely getting to that age where it's like he's slowing down a little bit, and it's really tough to see them kind of past their years, right? So just trying to make it as comfortable as we can possibly make it for him. And obviously I think we have done everything with him that we wanted to do. There's nothing that I want to leave out, especially when he's gone one day, to think, damn, we never did this with him. So we're trying to do as much as possible, and I don't think there's anything that we say, oh my gosh, we need to do this before he passes one day. I mean, we've taken him to the beach, he's traveled to probably most states in the US, more than most people, so he's definitely had his fair share of travel. But I think being here at Disney and all that, he definitely has found his place where he's really happy. So we do a lot of that, and I think just really keeping him close to us and stuff, because he is at 14 years now. So yes, so we do as much as we possibly can. And I think anything when he's with us, it really doesn't matter what we do. Is, I mean, we could just be having dinner around a table, and that's his like highlight of the day, obviously, because we work too. So yeah, so definitely don't want to leave anything out, and I don't think there is anything that we have left out. I think we definitely giving him the best life that we possibly can, at the same time with him looking after me and helping me go to the parks and stuff too, which is great too.
Wonderful.
Take a really sweet moment and ruin it by saying, I thought you were going to say, put him on Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster.
I mean, we can take him on the Tower of Terror. I mean, I don't know if they can strap him in like that, but I mean.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Well, if you do take him on the Tower of Terror and he gets and convinces John to go with him, then I think John deserves a Pluto kit.
I was waiting for that moment where you were going to throw me under the bus for that one.
Into may be able to take on another human to help you out there, John.
Hey, again, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun. And until next time, when every dog has its day, thank you, Christy. Thank you, Darren. And thank you, Canto. And later, dudes.
Cheers, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Please check us out on social media. On Facebook at Dudes Dish Disney. On Instagram at Dudes Dish Disney. On Twitter at Disney_Dish. Please visit our sponsor, Magic Vacations, at magicvacations.net. More than just a travel agency, Magic Vacations has over 60 Magic Vacation planners committed to bringing you white glove concierge service. Using a Magic Vacation planner allows you to spend more time making memories and less time worrying about the details. For all of your Disney, Universal, cruise and global travel, go to magicvacations.net. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel.
Yeah, did you hear that? All about you. Yeah.